Thank you, Brother Arlen, for that prayer. And yes, it's Mother's Day, the day our nation has set aside and made it a day to recognize, to honor mothers. And I think mothers deserve some honor, and I plan to share a Mother's Day message, I guess I'll call it this morning, some encouragement for our mothers. The goal of the message is to show appreciation and give encouragement to mothers, because I believe that our mothers do deserve that. We don't always do that. It's been a while since I preached a Mother's Day message. I don't know when I last would have done that. But as I thought about that, I thought about the fact that mothers are such play such important roles in our families, in our homes, and sometimes the things that our mothers do are just somewhat overlooked and taken for granted, and we just expect it to happen. And thankfully for our mothers, when they faithfully serve in their capacity, well, that probably is some of the reason why it gets neglected and overlooked and not always thought about, because it just happens. It's there. I invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I'm not going to spend our time in this passage necessarily, but the title that I've given to the message is, "But Thou Excellest Them All," and it's taken from verse 29 in Proverbs 31. Where it says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." As I thought about mothers in our society, so I mentioned the fact that our nation has set aside this day to recognize mothers. But as I thought about mothers and I thought about this phrase, but thou excellest them all. What is it that makes a mother excel beyond just normal mothers? Or as I think about mothers in our society that are being honored today and are actually not godly mothers, who are not living their lives for their families necessary and for their homes, and yet they're being honored, they're being recognized this morning. What is it that makes a mother stand out, that she excels in these things? And as I thought about that, and as I stand here and I look into a congregation this size, and I look at the sister's side, and I see all these faithful mothers that are here, that are taking their responsibilities and are here serving God in this capacity. What a beautiful scene to think about, that these are the mothers actually this morning that are excelling. They're the mothers that are standing out above society's mothers, if I may say it that way. And why is that? And as I pondered that and I thought about us as men over in this site being the recipients or being the ones who are blessed, I'm going to say, to have sisters, to have mothers, to have wives that are fulfilling their responsibility. We are so blessed this morning to have wives and mothers that excel. And so let's praise God. Thank God this morning for your mother. Take this opportunity today, if you have a faithful mother, to thank her for being a faithful mother. I believe it's right to do that. "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." This verse is a declaration of praise for the noble woman, or maybe we could say the godly woman or the Christian woman, I'd like to say, recognizing her as someone who goes above and beyond in her character, in her actions, in her influence. And I believe that's what our sisters are doing. They go up above and beyond, yes, even beyond their own what they think are their abilities and what they think is their own strength. And I'd like to look at some of that this morning and recognize why that is. In plain words this morning, it simply means to you sisters, you mothers this morning, it simply means doing the things that God has called you to do. To do them out of a heart of love. Cheerfully respond to the privilege of being a mother. Out of a loving heart and out of your faithfulness to service to not only your family, but we want to recognize the fact that God has planned this for mothers. And as you fulfill your responsibility, not only are you being faithful to families, to your children, but you're being faithful to God, because it's God's design for our homes. Many daughters have done virtuously. You see, a godly woman's goal this morning, I believe, is different than the women of our society. Both you and the women of our society want to be successful in what you're doing, and especially our society likes, well, we all do. We like this word successful. We want to be successful. We want to the outcome to be good. But the focus is in different things. Our society focuses on achieving in the things of that are temporal and the things here in education and you name it, fill in the gaps. You know what society goes after. The goal of a Christian mother, a goal of a mother this morning who excels, is, I believe, has the goal of bringing her children along with her into the faith and becoming children that God can use in His work. And so as we think about daughters doing virtuously, I also think about what does it mean to do virtuously? Virtuously has the idea of being morally excellent, to do righteousness, to do the right things, to live good lives, godly lives, to be chaste. And then right following this verse, he goes into this thought in verse 30. He says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so a woman that excels does deserve praise. The NIV says that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And we know how true that is in life. Charm is deceptive, it's empty, it's void, it's vain, as it were. And the beauty of any woman in her young age and teenage years, and as comes up, we know that it all starts fading with age and as life goes on. And that's okay. We don't have to worry about that. Our worry, our heart should be to serve God. A woman who fears the Lord, she's going to excel. She's going to deserve the praise, is what this is saying. And so I'd like to inspire us with that this morning. Now I'd like for you to notice, notice the who inspired the writer of Proverbs 31 here. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that who taught him? His mother taught him. His mother taught him. And then, let's talk about this a little bit. The name Lemuel actually means devoted to God. And we don't find out much about Lemuel. You don't read much about him in the Bible. I don't know if there's maybe one other place in the Bible outside of this that he is mentioned. But many commentators believe that Lemuel may actually have been King Solomon himself, and that he was just using this as a way to write. We're not sure about that, but that's the thought. And if that is the case, then Bathsheba would have been his mother. And there again, it's just interesting to think about that. I'm not sure if that's really the way it is. But as we think about that, The thought that I want you to get from this is, so she inspired her son to write Proverbs chapter 31, and we could take the time, and I'm not going to read through all of Proverbs 31. I'd like to look at some verses yet. But there's a lot of wisdom there that this young man had, and this wisdom was handed down from his mother. She taught him this. This is what she told him. And in verse 2, I want you to notice verse 2. This was, I believe, the burden that was upon this mother's heart. She said, "What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows?" It tells me that there was a mother who thought about the important things. So this was her son, and she was concerned about her son. He was the son that she had given birth to. She had carried in her womb. She had experienced life with him. And she was concerned about him, and she had apparently made some vows about those concerns to God, had given him to God. And she wanted him to learn to be a good son. And so this is one of the things that I see in this chapter that I believe is part of a woman who has done virtuously and who is going to excel. Having said that, I believe that she was a godly woman. His mother was a godly woman. And why do I believe that? Because a godly mother is a woman who represents the heart of Christ to her children. And I believe that's what she was doing as she pondered this. She wondered and she thought about what's the future for my son and what does God want for him? She thought about those things. She is, I believe, a woman that excels is one who is continually aware of her influence over their lives, her children's lives, and their future. And I believe the sacrifices that get made are made out of the feeling of necessity for their welfare. And you think about that, sisters this morning, mothers this morning, if you're here and you have the privilege of being a mom this morning. And I also am aware as I preach this message this morning that not every woman has the privilege to be a mother. And I think about that as I preach a message like this. If there are those that are here and wish they could have had children and God withheld that, just thank God for the mother you have and the experiences you have. Focus on that probably. But as I think about godly mothers this morning and the influence that they have on the rising generation, just think about this mother, for instance. She inspired her son to write, and if it was Solomon, he wrote all of Proverbs. And if he didn't, if it wasn't him and it was this chapter is written by someone different, he wrote this chapter. And just think about how far reaching that influence went from that mother because she inspired her son to write this. Thousands of years later, generations later, we sit here and we look at this and we learn and we are inspired by it. This morning, you as a mother, I have no way of knowing how far your influence will go on your children because you don't know where your children will go to serve God, who all's lives they will touch. But be it known to you this morning that there will be an influence that goes on. And may you have the heart to be a mother that excels. I'd like to say too that I believe that godly mothers are first godly women themselves. What I mean by that, and we'll get into this, I have about 6 points to the message that I'd like to, practical points that I'd like to make this morning. But godly mothers, I believe, are first godly mothers at home. They are godly mothers in every aspect, every walk, every part of their life. In other words, they're not one way at home and another way in the public. They don't swing one way here and when they're with another group, they swing another way, but they're consistent. They're godly mothers. And it's so important. Let's just look at a few of the godly mothers' influences that come out in Proverbs 31 here. Let's notice, first of all, verse 10, where he goes in and he asks this question. He says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And in verse 11, he says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. So this morning, a godly woman, a woman that fears the Lord, a woman that excels, is a woman who has the trust of her husband, the trust of her family, because of her faithfulness, because of her consistency. They know where she's at. They know that she's not one place one time and at another place another time, but that she's there. And they have confidence. They trust their mom. This morning, if you have a godly mom that you can trust, that you believe is doing the best she can for you, thank God for her. She's a mom that is excelling, that has tried to, has endeavored to excel. Verse 12, it says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." If you have a faithful mom this morning who's done you good and not evil all the days of her life, she's a mom that excels. If you have a wife like that, thank God for her and bless her and walk by her and give her the courage and the inspiration that she needs. Jumping over to verse 25, it says that this godly woman is a woman that her strength and honor are her clothing. Yes, it does say in the verse before that she's dressed in fine linen and she maketh fine linen. It's maybe up. She maketh, verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapers, her clothing, her silk and purple. Yes, she takes care of herself. But beyond that, her strength and honor are her clothing. In other words, her dependency on God. And she shall rejoice in time to come. We could read the whole way down through verse, well, maybe we should. Starting at verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Well, I said I have about six main points this morning. I'd like to share them with you for your inspiration. I believe these are six things that are going to make a mother, a woman, a wife excel in her role that she finds herself in. The first one is that a godly woman knows God. It's so simple. It's a simple truth, but it's a profound truth this morning. A godly mother loves the Lord, yes, with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind, with all her strength. That needs to be in place first of all this morning. Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. He said this is the first commandment. Why is it the first commandment? Why does Jesus say that this is most important? I believe that when this is the heart of a mother, she depends on God's love, first of all, but also on the strength, on the power of God, on the strength that she gets. You see, this morning, I understand that your role is a role that is demanding. We understand that. We see that. We observe that. We watch that. Raising a family, having children, just being there. The day-to-day things gets to be a daily grind at times. And there is no way, sisters, there's no way, mothers, this morning, that you can face that on the day-to-day, that grind that goes along with that on your own strength and on your own wisdom, your own power. And so you need to know God. You need to have a fervent relationship, first of all, with God. You need to find strength. Draw that strength for that. And as God observes you and he sees that you're in this because you want the best for your child, you want the best for your family, you want the best for your husband, God sees that you love him and that you care about him, he will give you that strength. He will give you that ability. He will give you what you stand in need of. In fact, let's turn back to Psalm 121. I want you to notice this psalm. It's a psalm that we draw inspiration from, and I'd like to draw inspiration from it this morning because I believe this psalm is a promise to you as mothers as you fill your responsibilities and as you look to God and as you try to draw strength from him. The psalmist here says in Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. This God who is there, who is observing, who sees your effort that you're putting into it, he's not a God who's sleeping. He's not a God who only notices things at times. No, he's a God who's watching and observing, and he's there with you in the daily duties of life as a mother. And he's observing, and he notices. He's ready to bless. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade of thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. It's just loaded with promises to us this morning in all that we face in life. But I'd like for you mothers to take encouragement in that this morning and know this God who is going to give you the strength that you need. Of course, the first step to becoming a godly mother and to really knowing God is to be surrendered to him with your own life. Only as you do that is your soul going to be restored. Strength is going to be felt. Your life is going to be recreated, as it were. Yes, your children come along and life will be recreated. If I may use that term this morning, your children will learn things from you. They will observe and they will take up a way of life. And they will take up your way of life, most likely, in a lot of things. And so it takes a restored soul. It takes a right heart, a right mind, a renewed mind. And if you're taking notes, I'm not going to take time to look at all these verses. But Psalm 23:3, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 2 and verse 2 talks about all those things and the importance that they are. And I believe they are very important this morning to a woman who desires to serve God and know God. And so my encouragement to you this morning is connect with God. Take time daily. In the pressures of motherhood, the day-to-day activities of motherhood, a day can slip by so fast, and all you did was run after what you felt was the necessary things. If you don't make it a real effort to take time aside to connect with God, have personal devotions, read your Bibles, pray to God, draw strength from him, and do it often during the day. Yes, you can be busy taking care of the things that are yours to take care of with a prayer on your lips, with a cry to God, meditating on things that you read, not just thinking about the things that are here for you to do. And sometimes I worry a little bit that sometimes our mothers get bogged down with a focus that they're here and it's almost martyrdom to be involved in family life. And it doesn't need to be that way. This morning, draw your strength from God. Know God. Secondly, a mother excels, I want to say, when she understands her role in marriage and in her family. And so God ordained family life. God made homes. God put that in place from the very beginning. A man and a wife leaving father and mother and cleaving to each other and starting their own home. The role of marriage in her family is laid out in the Bible. And God wants to be the head of those homes. We have that example in how God relates to the church. He's the head of the church, and he asks men to lead out under his authority. And this was God's focus from the beginning, I'd like to say. From the very beginning, God's focus has been that love and respect between husband and wife. Even though we do know that sin tainted that, as it were, the original beauty of that relationship was marred. But you know, God's heart still today, and God still commands godly people today to pursue the ideal, may I call it, the ideal relationship between husband and wife. It is illustrated in how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it and made a way for the church. We have that illustration, and this is what he wants in home life. And so a mother excels when she understands her role in marriage and in her family. And what I'd like to say about that this morning is, let your husband be the decision maker in your home. In fact, encourage him to do that. Husbands do need encouragement. Husbands do need the help meet to get behind them and push them forth. Yes, we as men can act pretty strong and act like we have it put together sometimes. But you know what? If you're married to a man, you know that he's not always as strong as what he appears to be to others. You know him, you know his weaknesses, his strength. And so as a mother, as a wife, as your responsibility, you take up that responsibility. Just encourage him, support him, respect him in his role as a husband and a father, as long as it doesn't contradict with the Word of God. We talked about that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. You see, I believe that's what Proverbs 31 and verse 12 is saying. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She gets behind her husband with a willing heart and supports his decisions and helps him, yes, come to good decisions. Helps him make decisions that are for the good of the family and for the good of the children, for the good of the home, for the good of the influence that will go forth. That is the mother that is going to excel. I believe it's the mother that he says needs praise and is doing virtuously. And so I'd like to encourage our sisters with that this morning. Thirdly, I believe a mother excels when she does not neglect her own health and well-being. And I believe I put this in here because I believe this is important. I mentioned earlier that sometimes I'm concerned that sometimes mothers get to the place where this is my responsibility, this is what I need to do, and the focus gets to be almost a negative focus in a way. A mother cannot neglect her own health and her own well-being. I'm talking spiritually and physically. I believe that a godly mother understands, and a mother that is going to excel is going to be a mother that understands that wearing herself out, acting as a slave to her children, it's not good for her or for the family. It's not good for anyone, in other words. It's not good for home life, for family life, for a mother to wear herself out. Yes, it is good for a mother to give selflessly, to give herself to her children. But I believe that a mother will also, may I say, carve out time to rejuvenate herself, because she knows that if she's not healthy spiritually and physically, her children are also, home life, husbands, the home, it's going to suffer. And so take time to take care of yourself. Take time out, and I already said this, for God, for Bible reading, for prayer, and do it often. This is more important than having everything just in its place in your home, and the home always spotless and all cleaned up, and the flower beds beautiful, and all those material things. It's more important that you sometimes draw back from all the responsibilities and say, you know what, it doesn't all have to look just like that. There's things that are more important, and I'm going to take time for that. And one of the things, one of the practical things that I'm going to say this morning that I believe you can help yourself in this area, especially when you think about the physical side of running a home, I believe rejuvenating yourself physically by involving your children in the daily routine of all the necessary things that must be done so that the home functions properly. In other words, what I'm saying is, approach family life and approach your responsibilities and the work that is before you as much as you can. Involve your families in it. Get your sons and your daughters to help pick up the work that they can do. Don't think that you have to do it all yourself and that you're here to serve your family and you just have to do it yourself. About a week ago, I met a young family here in locally that I hadn't seen for a while. Their children grew up in the meantime, and I was kind of taken back by how big the children are, how old the children are already. But I noticed that they had five boys, and I looked at them, I said, oh, all boys, no girls. Yep, it's all boys, no girls. I looked at her, and I said, and I'll bet those boys know how to clean the house and do dishes and those type of things. She said, you got it. She said, they sure do. They know how to bake. They know how to do things in the house. If you have all boys this morning, put them to work in the home. Teach them how to do those things. Draw some relaxation out of life for yourself and involve them. You know what? They love it. There was a day I had six boys. We only had one girl, and you know what? Those boys, they learned those things. And today, I hear sometimes that they're in the kitchen, in their homes, doing those things for their wives. You see, the influence that goes forth again is going to affect their wives and the next generation and so on. And so I just hold that out to you this morning. Think about your own health, especially spiritual health. Keep your emotions so that you can deal with the things of life and do that by involving your family with life as much as you can. They enjoy, they want to be, children find fulfillment in those things. They thrive on that. They love it. They want to be there. I have a grandson who just loves to make breakfast. He gets a grill out and he makes breakfast on the grill many times a week. He'll put the breakfast together, and he enjoys it, and I believe that he finds fulfillment in doing that. Teach your children to be responsible. Put their things away, clean up after themselves, coming home from school. The list goes on. Enough on that. Number four, I believe that a mother excels when she seizes teachable moments to instill biblical truths in her families. Proverbs 31 and verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I like to say that a godly mother is not so focused on meeting physical needs that she neglects the real calling, which is to raise future disciples for Christ. Never forget that. That's what you're doing. You're raising children that God wants to use. They're his children, in fact. He's the one that barred those children to you. Sometimes we lose focus of that and we think they're our children, and they are, yes, and we have responsibility with them. But you know, God is interested in them because they really are his children and he wants them back. That's why he continues to touch their hearts and continues to draw their lives and pull them back, and why we have young folks responding. Praise God. That's his goal. But he wants you to help in that. He wants you to take those moments that you can to teach about the things that really matter in life. And this starts young. This starts early. This starts in just the little things of life, of helping our children take notice to the things that God has created. This time of the year, there's new life coming on all around us. Take the opportunities of the birds and the flowers and the things that are coming forth to show God behind the scenes to your children. Do not neglect to take these teachable moments of these early years when they just soak it all up like a sponge. They take it in. They trust Mom. They trust Father. They believe in you. And the things that you say are, it's the truth. It's the way it is. They have that confidence in you. They are teachable moments that you can soak the things of God into their hearts deep. And they start taking root, and they'll be there as they grow up. And again, this morning, if you have a mother that done this to you, praise God. Thank her for it. Tell her, thanks for teaching me these things so that I can grow up for God and be the kind of person that God wants us to be. A woman who walks in close harmony with God directs her children's attention to his work in their lives, I wrote down. And I believe that is so true this morning. Be the kind of mother that takes the opportunities, the day-to-day opportunities, to teach your children about God. Number five, a godly woman models service to God and others. Proverbs 31 verse 20 says this, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. I believe a woman that excels is a woman that thinks beyond just her own family, her own children, her own needs, but she thinks about the community, the neighbors, the needy, the poor, the needy, the people who don't know God as we know God, as you know God, I should say. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. There are many good reasons to do this, I believe. But one that stands out to me is that our children need reminders that they are created for God, and serving Him is their highest calling, not just focus on themselves. You see, if we're a parent that is just focused on our family and us, and it's all about us, and it's everybody out there is in a different category, believe it or not, you're going to raise children that are just like that. You know what? They're going to be selfish children. They're going to be children that all they think about is themselves and my needs and so on. But as we try to teach them that other people are important in life, yes, we take cookies to the neighbors. We go sing for the neighbors. We do this and we do that and we do the other thing. We reach out. We think beyond ourselves. Talking about influence. Go with me to the book of Acts. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 9 about a woman who did this. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She was a woman who was doing good things. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. But Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and doing what? And showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The story goes on that Peter brought her back to life again. But here was the community, the family, the neighbors, those that knew this woman had gathered around, and they were observing the things that this woman had done for other people. The things she had made, probably given away. You know what I thought about when I thought about all that? You sisters get together here and you have sewing circle. and you sow comforts and you sow this and you do that, and there's mothers at home that are putting the patches together, sewing it for that, preparing for that. Those things are all out across, God only knows where all they are, across the world by now. They were put in containers and got shipped. Is it going to be that someday God is going to notice that comforter in Africa somewhere or another? Hey, this was the work of this mother at home. Take comfort in that. God does notice. He will notice. I believe that this story could be repeated again and again. God notices those things. And God bless you mothers for that. It's a part of reaching out to the world beyond our own homes and our own lives. And I'd like to encourage you in that. Because we want to teach the rising generation to do the same. When she died, many townspeople brought out the garments she had made for them as evidence of her what? Her love, her kindness, her concern. And I believe this is what Proverbs is talking about. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Your works will come back to praise you, dear sisters. Number six, the last point I'm going to make this morning. A godly woman that excels hath a healthy self-image. She has learned to see herself as God sees her. I want you to get this straight. You must have a healthy, I'll call it a healthy self-image. Verse 25 of Proverbs, I read it already, but it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I believe that the woman who has a healthy self-image, in other words, who sees herself as God sees her, not sees herself as she wishes other people would see her, not pretends to be a woman that she knows that other people want her to be. No, it's this thing of being real about who I am. I am just another one of God's servants. I'm just another one of those women that God made, and He placed me here for this time, for such a time as this, like Esther of old was put there, for such a time as this. You are here filling the role that God wants you to fill now. To the children, to the souls that He has given you, have this healthy self-image. Be humble. Seek God. Strength and honor are her clothing, it says, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She looks forward to the future with joy and with confidence. Why? Because of her faith in God, because of her trust in God, because she's reaching out to God for her strength. That's what it says there in Proverbs 31:31. Yes, that her fruits are going to come back, and she has that confidence. Well, there's another verse there. Just let me turn back to that. Talks about the thought of verse 18 talks about that. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. And I think that's what that verse is talking about, is it's talking about she has confidence. She trusts God. She has confidence in the things she's using, the things she's promoting, the things she's doing. And she goes forth with vigor in that strength and in that confidence. And so this morning, dear sisters, take courage. God cares about you. God is watching. God is observing. The fruit of your hands is going to come back to praise you in your home. It says in the gates, but I believe in your homes. I'm going to just close with a little quote I ran across that I like. Sometimes we get things a little mixed up in our minds, and this quote kind of brings that out. It says this, love that spoils and pampers, weakens and hampers. Real love strengthens and matures and leaves the loved one free to grow. Isn't that what we want? We want our loved ones, our children. We want them. We want to help them. to strengthen them, to put the right things in place, to help them to maturity, and then we want to free them, let them go, serve God, and grow for Him. May God bless you as you continue to be faithful. Thank you, mothers, for all the faithful mothers, wives, sisters. We care about you. Just take courage and continue on being faithful. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this new day you have blessed us with. We thank you for the privilege of being here, the health that you have given us, the strength that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering in with your family, the people of God, brothers and sisters, whose heart beat together. We thank you, dear God, this morning for the church. We thank you for Jesus and the plan of salvation that brings us together in this oneness, in this unity. And strengthen us, dear God, to be the kind of people that you want us to be. We thank you, Father, this morning for the sisters, the mothers that you have given to the church and that are here and are faithfully, Father, taking up their responsibilities and their roles and serving you with a heart that longs after you, a heart that loves you, and a heart that wants to have children come along who love you. So help us to that end. Help them to that end. And give them strength and courage in the day-to-day things, the things that they face, in those moments of discouragement, in those times when they feel like the work is greater than what they are able to do. Father, just step in beside them and strengthen them and gird them up and give them confidence and faith to go on, knowing that, yes, you're watching, you're observing, and that someday their work is going to be rewarding to them. We'll come back. We'll bless them in their homes and in their gates, Father. This is our desire. We thank you, dear God, for each home that is here, each father that is leading out in his responsibility. And we thank you for the faithful children that are here with us. Thank you this morning for those that are responding, each one of them. Thank you for Brody and all the rest that have responded earlier. Father, just bless these young souls. Continue to carry them. Continue to help them grow. Continue to help them see you in so many ways and give their lives for your honor and for your glory. Father, bless the families, the people who are not here with us this morning, Father, those who might be experiencing sickness or whatever reasons are not here, bless them in their family time together. We think of Brother Darvin as he's home, Father, and not feeling well. We just pray for healing for him and thank you for his faithfulness to us. And Brother Jimmy and Brother Larry and Brother Nolan, Father, just bless them and their families today where they are. So guide our hearts and keep us close to you. We want you to receive all the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.